Welcome everyone to the podcast, Soccer is Life. It's been a long time, guys. It feels like years.
Feels like years, bro. I've been away for a little while. My girl and I were in Ireland on vacation. So it was nice to be back in Europe after 10 years. We did Ireland, Northern Ireland, which was a lot of fun, you know, watching the games there. So for everybody who thinks that, you know, I ran away because my team started sucking, I was actually sending messages to Karim and be like, yo, you gotta record, bro, you know what I mean? People are gonna be bad-mouthing about me, you know, saying that I don't want to record because I'm losing and shit. But yeah, I mean, the past few weeks have been nothing short of tragic, embarrassing. I mean, yeah, just nothing to say. The season has to be over.
We'll talk about it, you know, this weekend, man, or the next episode.
Yeah, Champions League time. Yo, what a week for the Champions League. What the heck?
What a year.
What a period year, period. For, like, all these comebacks. Like just unbelievable. Where do we start?
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's start with Liverpool, Barcelona. Let's talk about the first leg. You know, what I would say about the first leg is that the score was very flattering of Barcelona. I don't think they deserved the 3-0. I think it doesn't reflect what actually happened in the game. If anything, though, like, the game probably could have been like 5-3 for Barcelona if you count like all the missed chances that Liverpool had, and also Barcelona had at the end, which I'm sure they regretted after the second leg. But yeah, I mean, Barcelona this year, I mean, I would say, like, since they won the Champions League in 2015, it's not a special team. They just have this guy who's called Messi, who does everything, you know? In the Guardiola era, they could rest Messi, and they will still be banging teams, like, yeah, slapping teams around. They will have David Villa, they will have Pedro, they will have they had Thierry Henry as well. You know, they had players who could step up and do the work, you know, if Messi needs to be rested. This year, we've seen a lot of times, actually, Messi on the bench and coming on to save the game. And if I count, I don't have the stats handy, but if I see, like, the amount of times that Messi has made an actual difference between winning and losing, and the goal scoring, the game-winning goals that he scored, like, I think without him, they're probably third or something in the Liga.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I read an article saying it was counting all the goals that he scored, changing the score, or all the points that he brought to the team. And without these crucial, actually, and not even Messi goals, but like last minute goals.
Yeah, exactly.
Or goals in the second half. Without these, Barcelona would not have been at the top of the league in La Liga.
Yeah.
And perhaps it's one of the reasons also they're top of the league is just, you know, Madrid is horrible, has been horrible. Atleti,
yeah, been trash.
Up and down, not really able to be consistent throughout a full entire La Liga season.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, made it a lot easier for Barcelona to be on top of the league.
Yeah, just cruised.
But yeah, I think they paid the price of over-relying on Messi. But I don't believe that that is necessarily the fault of the players or because of the players that they have.
Yeah,
I am personally really, really critical of Valverde and perhaps, man, we talked about it last year when they played against Roma. I think, you know, Valverde is just trying to impose a style of play that is not in their DNA. Like the first game, Barcelona and Liverpool, Liverpool had more completed passes and more possession than Barcelona.
At the Camp Nou,
which is like, does not make sense at all. If you follow the last 10 years of Barcelona, at least having this crazy stat just shows you how unnatural it was for Barcelona to play this way. And they have suffered two really dramatic defeats in a row in the Champions League.
Mm.
To be honest, man, if I was a Barcelona fan, I would be sad, but at the same time, I would be a little bit glad that it happened, because that's I think the only
like a blessing sign, in disguise.
It's the only sign that is the only urgent signal for the board to really reconsider having Valverde for the long term. Because if you would have had him in the long term, you might have won La Liga, but I think you would have struggled for sure in the coming years. So maybe it was best to look for a really good manager this year. And you don't have to really look a lot further than Ajax, but you know.
I mean, the first game was all about Messi. I mean, what he did was nothing short of unbelievable. The free kick was amazing. Just, I think he scored like 8 free kicks this year or something like that. I mean, like at this point for him, a free kick, like it might as well be a penalty. That's how easy it's been for him this year. But if we can set up the scene really quickly, I mean, like 3-0, you know, I wasn't seeing a performance like that. I couldn't even imagine. I thought that, you know, Liverpool would win. Like my prediction, you know, between friends and shit, it was there's going to be 3-1 for Liverpool at home. Yeah.
I had a 3-0.
You had 3-0?
Yeah, man. Always.
Yeah, so I thought it was going to be 3-1. You know,
I'm always bullish on my predictions regardless,
I'm like, okay, Barcelona going to score one at least. And now, let's set the scene, like I said. This is a Barcelona side that is hurt from last year. Messi, I remember when he became captain this year officially, before the beginning of the season, he took the microphone at the Camp Nou. He was speaking to the fans, like, you know, we have unfinished business, blah, blah, blah. We're going to bring it back this year because it got slapped by Roma last year. They won 4-1 at the Camp Nou and lost 3-0 at the Stadio Olimpico, I believe. So they had that scar. You know, they came into this game with this scar and this sense of vengeance and unfinished business, you know, that they had in Champions League. And what I have to say is, like, if that's your mentality, you come into this game. You know, Liverpool have... So, first of all, you're 3-0 up. Liverpool have no Salah, no Firmino. They're playing up front. The people who are playing up front are Shaqiri, you know, who's been a very astute, actually, transfer for Liverpool. But this guy was playing at Stoke City, like, 12 months ago. Relegated.
He's not much fit. He was
exactly
he did not really play a full game.
And Divock Origi
for the past maybe 20-25 games.
Yeah, and Divock Origi,
same thing.
You know, a guy who was sent to freaking Wolfsburg in the Bundesliga. He had an average season. I mean, you know, he grew dreadlocks and all that shit. Like, these are people who are coming from the dead. These are people who were told by Klopp, "Look, I'm gonna need you here. Our guys are not here. I need you to do a job for the team." These are people who know that they're not playing in the final if Liverpool goes through, which Liverpool went through. These are people who, like, they know that, you know, unless Salah and Firmino and Sadio Mane are injured, they're just simply not playing in the final. They know this. So this is the sense of belonging and the atmosphere that I guess a charismatic manager like Klopp can create. You know, every player feels involved. They're all vested in the mission, and they just gave their everything, man. But now for Barcelona, like, I don't know how they let this happen. I think that what they did is just embarrassing, I don't know where they go from here, because if we actually speak about the performances, you know, obviously they were very pressed, normally they don't like to sit deep, but Valverde has them sitting deep, so they don't know what to do when Liverpool is coming all at them like that. I saw, like, Busquets lose possession, like, I don't know how many times. I mean, like, his game was, like, horrendous. I just saw, like, the first 10, 15 minutes, I saw a Barcelona side that looked like... They looked like they had not played football before. Like, they were just nervous, giving the ball away all the time.
The first goal also made, like, a really psychological, you know, effect on Barcelona, because they had a long time to really digest that. They just conceived the goal early on, and Liverpool is only 2 goals away from, you know, going to extra time and penalties. But I don't know, man. I think, like, the corner kick just summarizes the whole Barcelona attitude for the second game, which was really... I think that summarizes really well how critical and genius the Liverpool players were in this game. Like, what the heck has just happened? You know, Alexander-Arnold connecting with Origi. Origi you know, he in a couple of seconds he can see that the ball is coming. He had to react to it. Had to really have a good contact with the ball and score.
Yeah. Which you can say, you can easily say, 8 times out of 10 times he would miss.
Yeah, and then like, I don't know what was wrong with Alexander-Arnold's head, because if Origi missed the ball or did not see it, we would have been like, what are you doing, man? You just wasted a corner kick.
Yeah, at the end of the game.
You know
Which I feel like they were in a good position to do, because they did the work already. Like, at this point, it's 3-0. They're like, you know what? We're going into the extra time. At this, like, football is always a game of momentum. It's a game of momentum. There's always a report of balance of power, you know? It's like a boxing game. It's like a dance, sort of, you know? I bring you here, you bring me here. I bring you there, you bring you there. Like, at this time, at this point, it's 3-0 for Liverpool. It's, the 85th minute, something like that. Like, Liverpool is extremely calm because they've just done what nobody believed, except for them, I'm sure, that they could do. At this point, Barcelona is against has their back against the wall. At this point, Liverpool is ready to play for another 2 hours, I'm sure, because of the way they were affected psychologically. Now, do you think that they what happened with that corner? Do you think they practiced that, or like they thought about it?
I don't know. They did not. No one hinted afterwards that it was something that they had practiced. So I'm guessing like it was pure momentum, as you said, you know, pure momentum, and it was just reflex, you know, from Alexander and from Origi just being, you know.
Because what happens is that Shaqiri is being called to take the corner.
Yeah.
So that's what we see.
Yeah.
So as he gets near, but the Barcelona players, they switch off, which is so criminal. Like, they should go to jail, all of them, for this. They switch off, thinking, okay, maybe we can,
time.
Like, reset ourselves.
We have
time.
And also because...
Another player is taking the corner.
None of the Liverpool players were in the box except for Origi. The other players, like, that they wanted to mark, like Matip and Van Dijk, were way up outside of the box. So that's where their focus was, right? Like, how we're going to mark Van Dijk and Matip. Origi was just there. Alexander Arnold, man.
Yeah, so Shaqiri comes closer to the corner kick.
Yeah.
And we actually see Trent leaving the corner post.
And then coming back.
He leaves and then he comes back in like a blink of a second.
He sees something as like, what? Let me come back. You just played.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then, you know, just stunned out of nowhere. I mean, we talk about, so I personally believe that Pique has been
the most beautiful corner kick of all time, man.
I mean,
to be honest,
look, what makes it so crazy is the way Liverpool and you know, particularly Trent and Divock Origi, the way they were brilliant. Like, Barcelona's criminality is exactly matched. Like, Barcelona was as bad as Liverpool was good at this corner.
Yeah.
So that, like, we're at both extremes here. That's what makes it so crazy. And here you think about like you're talking about an experienced team. You know, it doesn't matter who the coach is. I mean, these are players who have won Champions Leagues before.
Yeah, a couple Champions League,
you know,
La Liga,
very experienced. Yeah, like, you know, and Arturo Vidal, the freaking Pique, Messi,
Busquets.
Come on, man.
Yeah, man.
And and to switch off at a corner like that, as if you're like 1-0 down. Like, right now it's 3-0. You know what's at stake. You know that right now it's a tie, and whatever happens, which is probably like in Liverpool's favor because they just scored. Like, you can't be so lazy. Like how arrogant is that? It's unbelievable.
I think they were focusing on the wrong thing because they had their head messed up. I think they just lost focus. They were like, oh my God, Van Dijk might have, what are we going to do? They panicked and they left just Origi. You know, they panicked so they didn't. Yeah, I think they focused on the wrong thing. They had everything messed up in their head. And, you know, that's just the summary of the game, man.
But, you know, sometimes, you know, some things are just, like, written in the stars. I mean, first of all, let's mention, okay, so this is me at work. I was trying to go watch the game with a buddy, actually, and he couldn't make it. So I was like, oh, all right, whatever, I'll just watch it at work. I'm watching it at work. I see the 1-0. I'm like, damn, this is going to be a game right now. And then my boss calls me, like, at the second half, like, you know, beginning of the second half, he calls me. I go into his office for like maybe 10 minutes or something like that. I come back, 3-0. I'm like, wait, I refresh the pitch because I'm like, is this like last game? Like the score that they're showing? And then I see the minute when they scored.
Yeah.
54-56, Wijnaldum. And I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, man.
Unbelievable. And what makes it more crazy when I say that everything is written in the stars, when Liverpool did that comeback in Istanbul against AC Milan, Gerrard and what's the other guy's name? Smilcher or whatever. They scored those two goals in the same minute that Wijnaldum scored those two goals.
Yeah.
54th and 56th minute, which is unbelievable. And back to, and you know, in the same topic, you saw a Brasson that was extremely nervous. I mean, we can talk about Messi. In my opinion, he tried everything that he could. He was pushing, he was pushing, but, you know, he can't do it all by himself. But what I'm saying is, you know who this guy is. You know what he usually does on the field. Like, he had some moments of doubt a little bit, you know. Sometimes, in, like, typical situations, like, he would shoot, you know, in certain moments. But this time, he wouldn't shoot. He would go for another cutback, you know. So I'm like, okay, like maybe this is not their night. Like, they're not looking sharp. Maybe even them, they don't believe it. Because players who normally not worthy of criticism, they were not themselves, you know. And I'm talking about Busquets, who had a horrendous game. And, Messi, who did not have he didn't have a bad game, but he didn't have the reflexes that he normally has in a game. Yeah. He didn't have that instinct killer. So yeah,
it is what it is, man.
It's tragic. It's, you know, coming from last year, you know, this card that they had, what they did is nothing short of embarrassing. And I don't know where they go from here. You know, it was also funny to see the Liverpool fans turning on Suarez. Actually, I enjoyed that. because he was trying to cause some damage, some chaos at the beginning. That's what he always does, and that's what he did when it was a Liverpool. So it was just funny to see some people actually open their eyes. Robertson, like, he had to go out because of this fuck shit that Suarez did, actually.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, when I was watching the game, and I was like, this guy, Robertson, is like, what, 23 years old, 24 years old, he's something young. Like that?
I don't know.
This guy, like, 2 years ago, he was playing, like, in the second division in Scotland. Like, even the first division in Scotland is absolute shit, except for Celtic, come right? On, man. No, I'm serious. Like, if you play in Scotland, you don't got that. It's like maybe League One level in England. There's only one team in Scotland, and it's Celtic. That's a team that's often in the Champions League and does things, you know. Virgil van Dijk actually used to play there. But that's it. Like, there's no competition. They've won the trophy for the last, like, 20 years. But what I'm saying is, this guy, like, he had this tunnel vision. Like, at the beginning, I don't remember what happens, but I remember, like, just seeing Messi on the floor and him, like, just pushing him like that on his head. And I'm like, okay, I wouldn't have a problem with this if it was, like, any other Barcelona player.
Yeah.
But I'm like, damn. Like, this is a guy who's 23, 24 years old.
He's 25.
Like, Messi is a world icon, you know, idol. I don't believe he's a saint like the media would want you to believe, but for him to, like, do that kind of shit,
yeah.
I was like, damn, like, this guy's, like, not afraid at all. Like, psychologically, he's on it, you know?
Yeah.
For a young player to do that to a player like Messi, I thought that showed some... I mean, you know, I don't think it's, like, nice to see whatever, you know, as far as, like, example for the kids and all that bullshit. But I thought that psychologically, like, he sent me a message, like, damn, this guy's not here to fuck around. Like, it doesn't matter. He's not mesmerized by, oh, shit, I'm playing against Messi. Yeah. No, not all of that is out of the window.
Yep.
Yeah, so I just wanted to mention that.
Cool. All right. Let's go to another crazy game, man, because we had, like, two crazy games in the Champions League. Tottenham, Ajax. Lucas Moura carried the team all around. Let's start with the first game. You know, just 1-0 of for Ajax.
Yeah.
At Tottenham.
Mm-hmm. Son was not eligible to play, actually. I think through a yellow card. Accumulation of yellow cards, so he was out of the game.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer for Spurs because they already don't have Kane. But, you know, some people say that it's actually bad luck to have Kane, you know, because, you know...
Since, oh, yeah, yeah, that's my... Yeah, that's my since he came back, it's not even a bad luck. Facts. if you look at Tottenham's performance this year without Kane,
right,
they're much better than their performance with Kane. And that's just, you know, if you guys go back to the numbers, check it out. It's a mystery. But I thought the first game, you know, Ajax dominated the game.
Mm-hmm.
They really were impressive playing away from home, winning 1-0. They got the job done.
And that's where they've played. That's how they've traveled well in Europe, but they haven't been that good at home. I remember I think they lost to Bayern. They lost to Madrid at home. They lost to Juve at home, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So they don't play well at home, but away from home they're actually, like, amazing. You know, that's how they beat Juventus. They knocked them out at the Juventus Allianz Arena. They knocked out Madrid 4-1 at the Santiago Bernabeu. Like, you don't win, you know, in those stadiums. You know, same thing with for Camp Nou. And then
they scored two goals at home. They're 2-0 at halftime.
Hakim Ziyech and Matthias De Ligt. Yeah.
What happens next, man? Like.
So this is a team that's going to halftime probably with the mentality of, okay, you know, we got it. This game is in the pocket now. We're going to the final. Because at this point, it's 3-0, right? And, you know, football is a game of fine margins. It's a game of momentum, you know. Next thing you know, they come back from halftime. You know, Tottenham scores a goal, and that's when the party starts, basically. You know, Lucas Moura, which, you know, I would say he had, like, an average first half. But the second half, he just, like, transformed himself. And I you know, what I have to say also is that a team like Ajax, like, I don't think they made... they didn't take full advantage of the first game. The first game, they should have won at least two. Like, they should have scored more than one goal. Because one goal is not enough, man. It's not a big enough lead. But, you know, to be fair to them, they came into this game. They scored two goals. So, they thought that they had it. You know, they missed a couple of chances as well. Ziyech could have scored a couple more, I believe. And the thing is, like, this is a team that does not know... I don't want to say that they don't know how to defend, but they don't know how to manage a game defensively. Like, whatever is happening, they're always going out on the attack.
Yeah.
So you don't have, like, that... You don't have that game management.
Yeah.
It's just like some teams are built a certain way. I can mention a team like Manchester City. Manchester City, they are used to being on top, okay? They know what to do when they're 1-0 up, 2-0 up. When they're 1-0 down, 2-0 down, they're actually completely lost. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to come back from that. So it's the same thing for Ajax, I believe. They don't know how to... They didn't have this game management. They really could have seen out this game and just go to the final. But, you know, at the end, like, what Lucas Moura produced was just unbelievable. I remember my stream was a little bit, maybe like 30 seconds late at work.
Yeah.
And one of my colleagues, he comes over, he's like, yeah, Spurs. I'm like, what? They did it? And I'm like, fuck, like, my stream is late. I didn't know. So, like, I refresh and then I see Lucas Moura scored in the last second. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, this game, it was really the transformation of Lucas Moura. Especially that this season, Son has been really big for Tottenham. Son has been really...
I think he should be their player of the season.
Arguably, yes.
Yeah.
But he had a horrible game against Ajax. I don't ever remember seeing him passing. I don't ever seen him not losing the ball. I remember him every time he was getting the ball, he was losing it. So that was, I think that was really an unexpected moment of Son being having maybe his worst game thus far that I've seen of Son.
Yeah.
And Lucas Moura have just transformed totally. And you know, I think really a really big factor in this is the Liverpool and Barcelona game, which have changed a lot of mentalities, but it was really a fresh reminder that it was possible for Tottenham. You know, they have just seen it a day before. I think perhaps, I don't know, if Liverpool have not made a crazy comeback against Barcelona, Tottenham would not have had this crazy belief. I don't know, man, but it's definitely a factor that I have encourage them to do so, and Pochettino have mentioned it in his press conference as
well. It's so interesting, though, because we've seen this all year. We've seen Ajax knock out Real Madrid, you know, from a losing position. At the Santiago Bernabeu, they did that. We've seen United, you know, come back from 2-0 and go to win a 3-1 at Parc des Princes. Like, we've seen this all season long. We've seen Tottenham completely, like, knock out Manchester City. You know, I wasn't expecting that at all.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's just, like, it's been a season of upsets, you know, and then you see Liverpool as well. So, yeah, it's just, I think we've had this all season. And I think that at this point, you can't say, like, you can't go into a game anymore being like, okay, this game is done. Like, you know, I think all that is out of here.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't mean anything anymore. The belief that Tottenham had, I mean, you can see Pochettino from the stand, from the bench, sorry, who was so passionate, like, so involved in the game. This is, like, when it's still 2-0. You know, still pushing, still believing until the end. And, you know, then you just see this. By the way, he's a right-footed player, and he scored 3 goals with his left foot. So something to be said about that as well. Yeah, man, I mean,
when you saw the first goal, man, that was
and the
crazy.
Pass, that was a good pass as well. I think it was from Son, actually, wasn't it?
Which one?
The first goal.
I think it was with Dele Alli. Dele Alli had the line.
I think Dele Alli has been shit this season. But that's not a conversation for another day.
Before as well, but you know.
Exactly, yeah. But yeah, I mean, you see this goal going in and you see the Ajax player just like crumbling to the floor. You know, because I think everybody, you know, fell in love with this team. You know, the way they're playing, the beliefs that they had. And just like, you know, it was just like an attractive, charismatic team, you know, for anyone who was a neutral or even a fan of other teams, really, you know. And, you know, they haven't been in the finals since, I think, 26 years, something like that. The last one was against Juve in 95, I believe. But this is, you know, it's a historically important club in Europe, you know. Paved the way for a lot of the players, actually. You know, they're very known for Total Football. They also have Johan Cruyff in common with Barcelona.
Yeah.
So a lot of people were actually picturing a Ajax and Barcelona final, you know, Johan Cruyff, whatever. Total Football, you know, all this romantic shit. Obviously, that's out the window as well.
Yeah.
But you know, you just see the emotions from the Tottenham players and Mauricio Pochettino. You know, this is a guy who I don't know how much he spent in the last like 4 or 5 seasons, but it's been very tight for him. And you know, we always criticize this guy, saying like, okay, what he does is like amazing. You know, it's amazing like what he's done with these young players. You know, the relationship that he has.
Yeah.
With his players, but then it's like, okay, like throughout this whole time, like you could have won something, maybe not the Premier League, but you could have won the FA Cup, you could have won the League Cup, like anything really, you know. But none of that has happened.
But man, those are like
no. I mean,
there's just trophies that is good that you can add to your.
But those are things that change a team, Karim. Like, can you imagine if like let's say 3 years ago they had won the FA Cup or something like that? Like it adds. It's like something.
It just adds trophies, man, to your club. But it's
that's what
not,
I'm saying. But the
not,
mentality changes.
I don't believe so, man.
You think that? Look, you think
to
that?
Be honest,
the,
to be honest, I don't. I'm it, not. I'm like I don't believe that winning an FA Cup or like a Carabao Cup, first, it doesn't qualify you as a big team or as a team that has won an important trophy. And then in terms of mentality, I don't know, man. Like Arsenal have won the FA Cup
because we're talking about
of time with Arsene Wenger, and they still have the mentality that they have, right?
Yeah, but right now we're talking about a team who, you know, they're very young. None of them have been at this stage really. And what I'm saying is, like, you need something. Like, many of these players, like, have never won anything. Actually, I mean, Hugo Lloris, who's won the championship in France, I'm sure in the World Cup last summer, but
yeah.
None of them have. They don't have anything to show for, you know. So and the quality that they have, they should have won something. So I don't want to make excuse for them.
Yeah.
Because they're a great side, and the reality is they should have won something. When you win, when you have that feeling, it makes you want to get more and more and more. That's how you saw great teams, you know, like Arsenal, let's say in the early 2000s. You saw United, obviously, like in the past 10 years. Chelsea as well, you know, with the Mourinho. and the Drogba, Lampard, John Terry, and all that. Like, when you win, when you have that mentality, like, you just want to keep going and going and going. So I'm not saying that it was going to be groundbreaking, but I'm saying that they should have picked up something. So this is all to say that I'm happy for this guy, Pochettino guy, and for these players as well, you know, that they get to experience a Champions League final. And it's one that's going to be memorable, you know, it's one that's going to be in the books, you know. Logic will say that Liverpool would probably take it, but, you know, at this point, I can't, I'm not even going to try to pronounce myself. But what I will say, though,
yo, at the end of the day, man, I personally had my predictions right, which was Tottenham go through and Liverpool as well.
Oh, I didn't know that at all.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, okay, so the league is gonna the Premier League is gonna end this weekend, which means that it'll be 3 weeks between now and the final. What happens during those 3 weeks? How do you keep match sharpness? How do you keep the? I mean, the good thing is that both teams are on the same page. As far as the calendar,
yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're gonna play like a lot of friendly games or whatever, because
they
you can't, you can't, yeah, you, I mean, you can't just prepare for the final of the Champions League by playing, by just going to practice.
I actually think that 3 weeks is it's gonna feel like 3 years for both teams.
To be honest, I don't know why is it scheduled that late,
because you won't have distractions. You know why?
Yeah,
because the English Premier League does not have. A break at Christmas.
Oh, so every all the other leagues are still
every
on?
Other championship, okay. Like, yeah. France, I think, for example, they have a little, you know, winter vacation.
Yeah,
they're gonna end their last game is like the like May 25th. So that's like five.
Yeah, but it's still the first year that this happens. No,
no, it's not. It's always like this. There's always a lot of time between.
No, well, I mean, also, I remember last year there wasn't much time, man, between the Premier League and then the final of the Champions League for Liverpool. There wasn't.
There was 3 weeks gap. There was because
there was maybe a week and a half or so.
There was actually because I think the game was like on Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
So it was like May 31st or something like that, like that Saturday. And the English Premier League always ends on May 12th every year, actually.
Okay.
Like, it always ends on Mother's Day every year.
Yeah.
But what I want to say is that the Champions League final has been pushed back. Before, it used to be a little earlier. I think it was like the 26th of May. I remember a couple of years ago, something like that.
Yeah,
so that would have been like, what, 2 weeks after the Premier League ended. So I think that, you know, maybe the Premier League could change the calendar to benefit some of their teams, you know, if they make it to the final. But I don't know. I mean, I'm actually very curious to see what's going to happen, because three weeks is a long time not to have any distraction. At least if you're playing in the league, you could focus on the league as well, or you can play like the FA Cup final, like just something to keep active and not to think about the Champions League final, because it's too much. You don't want to have 3 weeks to think about the Champions League final. I think that may result in a negative. And we saw this week as well. Liverpool, they're still competing for the league. They play Newcastle, score at the last minute. And Barcelona, you know, they already won the league a couple of weeks ago, so they rested all their players. And when you watch the game,
that might have backfired. Yeah, you're right.
That when you watch the game, you would have thought that it's Liverpool who had 1 week off, not Barcelona.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're gonna organize like some friendlies, but yeah, it's gonna be special to see what happens. And it's gonna be a good one.
Do you want to move on to the Europa League, man, real quick?
Yeah, we can just briefly touch on that. I mean, the final has been decided as well: Arsenal versus Chelsea. So these are, it's going to be an all English European final. So whatever happens, both trophies will end up in England, which is something good for the Premier League. I believe it's fascinating that Arsenal and Chelsea are even fighting for that competition in the first place. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do, and you got to deal with the situation that you're in. You know, if that's your position right now, go for it. And that's going to be me next year. and you know, which I hope we're relegated, because I'm sick of this competition. I mean, they. I think many people saw this coming already, as far as Chelsea and Arsenal.
I think they had really tough games, man, to go through. Like playing Napoli is not an easy game. Playing Valencia is not an easy game. that they have, you know, they could.
They're not easy games on paper, but Napoli did not play like they should have. I mean, it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
You saw a defender like Kalidou Koulibaly, who was like nothing short of embarrassing. And we know that Arsenal is not a team who's traveled well this year. I think they won at San Paolo, and they won at the Mestalla as well this evening. So, you know, I don't know. It's the thing about the Europa League. I'm not going to say that it's about the toughness of the opposition, because it's not all the time, because you're playing against teams like that are from like the Eastern European countries. What makes it hard about the Europa League is the fact that you travel so far, and I don't know what's about a Thursday night,
yeah.
But when you play Thursday and Sunday, yeah. It just seems to fuck up your priorities in the league. And you know, it was the same thing for us with Mourinho when we were in the Europa League. We won it, but we finished like six or something like that, something ridiculous like that. So I think that the Europa League always gets in the way of your season. And it was the same thing for Chelsea and Arsenal, although Chelsea might finish third. But I think it's just like a dent in your season. So for us personally, next year, like I don't want to see. I just want to play youngsters in the Europa League. I don't want the team to focus on the league, the Europa League at all,
and forget the Premier League.
Yeah, and forget about the Premier League, because you know, yeah. I mean, anyway, that's another discussion. But yeah, Chelsea won on penalties, so that was actually a dramatic game at the end.
Yeah,
Kepa made a brilliant save with his knees. Actually, I don't know if you've seen that yet. But yeah, so final all set in Baku, Azerbaijan. And that's going to be May 27th?
I think it's... No,
it's going to be the Wednesday...
May 29, man, I think.
It's going to be the Wednesday before... so the Europa League final is going to be on a Wednesday, and the Champions League final is going to be on a Saturday. So a couple of weeks before.
Yeah, May 29.
Yeah.
Which is what?
Yeah, Wednesday. Yeah, it's a Wednesday.
Yeah. All right, guys. Here you have it. Semifinals of the Champions League and Europa League.
Yeah.
And then we still have 1 week to go. 1 week left for the Premier League, and then we might do another episode also after the final of the Champions League and Europa League.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for sure we'll have that, just like last year. But yeah, let's see what happens this weekend. I mean, obviously, what's at stake? It's the Premier League title. It's going to be decided on the last day. It's for City to lose, because they're ahead. So as long as they win, you know, they don't have anything to worry about. They will be playing Brighton, I believe, yep. Away from home.
Yeah.
And Liverpool will be playing Wolves at home. So Wolves are a tough side, but I think that Liverpool at home, they got it. So yeah, let's see what happens. I mean, what do you think it's gonna? You think we can have like a 2012 moment when Aguero won it at the last
second?
Yeah,
I think so.
I mean, you hope so.
I hope, and I think so.
What I will say, though, about these teams...
Because Brighton, listen, people are saying, oh, maybe it's an easier game because Brighton is not fighting to stay in the Premier League anymore.
Yeah.
But I think they're actually going to be more calm, more relaxed, and they're going to be able to perform better if they had been playing under pressure for this game to stay in the Premier League. Plus, it's an away game. It's the last game of the season. You know, you don't want to end the season with a loss, especially that you have finally not been relegated. You know, you're safe from relegation, so I think it's going to be a celebration game from Brighton, and they're going to make it happen, man.
Look, if Liverpool wins the Champions League and the Premier League, this podcast is canceled. You're going to have to find another co-host for next year. But what I'll say about these two teams, I mean, for both of them to finish with like 90 points plus, but one of them have to like lose out and not win the Premier League, I think it's shameful, and I think this also reflects how bad the other traditionally top six teams were, in Arsenal, United, Chelsea, and freaking Tottenham. You know, I mean, there's what, like 20 points difference between the second and the third, which is so embarrassing. But I'll end the conversation with this. Liverpool and Manchester City, the last 3-4 weeks, do you know what's at stake? Sometimes they're tied, but the players know what to do. They know what's at stake. They know what's to be gained at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So they always manage a way to score a goal at the end. Liverpool has done this time and time again. I think they're probably like, I don't know how many, they probably
hey man,
scored,
listen, Liverpool,
they probably scored 50% of their goals like after the 85th minute.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable.
And like the number of points.
And same thing for Manchester City. I mean, 0-0 against Leicester City this past Monday.
Yeah.
And who else other than fucking Vincent Kompany? And what type of goal he scored as well at the 70th minute. So these goals, they keep coming, they keep coming, they keep coming. And then you compare teams like Manchester United, like Tottenham, like Arsenal. Well, actually,
concede a goal last minute to lose or tie games.
But what I'm saying is that they know what's at stake. And what's worse, they know that the other teams that are competing for top four have already lost the games. And yet, they keep finding ways to lose. They know they're not going to be in the Champions League next year. If they lose, and guess what? They still lose. They still concede to a team that's called Huddersfield. That's been relegated for like 3 years already.
Yeah.
And that a team that has won twice this season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what happened is embarrassing. I mean, I'm saying this now because I haven't had a chance to talk about it yet since we're not recording. But when I say that I hope that we're relegated, I mean, you know, I'm just saying that in the heat of the moment. But what I truly mean is that this team is not going anywhere. I mean, we've done this for 6-7 years already. What tells me that next year is going to be different? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's I just want like the club to go so bad, so down, and maybe people will actually wake up. Because right now, the sad assessment is that people at the club, they prioritize the commercial aspect rather than the football aspect, which is okay. You have a football club. If you're doing well on the football level, the commercial side will be even easier, you know? But so anyway, that's not the case. And that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, shout out to Liverpool and Manchester City.
Yeah,
shout out to Liverpool and Manchester City, sadly, for me. But yeah, what they've done this season is unbelievable. I mean, Liverpool losing just one game. So yeah, if they don't win the league and then the season with just one defeat, I think that'll be sad. For them, I mean, obviously, I'm here for it. But yeah, both teams have done a tremendous campaign, and yeah, it just makes it for an exciting season next year. So very soon, we're gonna be football free again. I mean, you have the Copa America and the African Cup of Nations.
Yeah.
So we're not gonna be that bored. But yeah, transfer market season. Speculation season, transfer mill season. So let's see what happens.
All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in.
Good to be back. Peace out.
Peace.